U.S. farmers are suffering the brunt of trade tensions with China.
This is really a grim situation for U.S. farmers from this ongoing trade conflict.
And President Trump's revenue from several of his most high-profile properties fell last year.
The most notable one that we saw was a 10% drop in the income he received from Mar-a-Lago in 2018.
Plus, the architect Ian Pei has died. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, the difficult conditions that are facing U.S. farmers due to trade tariffs with China, here's what you missed. President Trump's revenue from several of his most high-profile properties fell last year. That includes a nearly $2.5 million drop at his Florida resort, the Mar-a-Lago Club. All in all, revenue from Trump-owned properties fell by 4% in 2018 compared to a year ago. But our reporter Rebecca Ballhouse cautions this doesn't necessarily tell us the whole story.
I think the most notable one that we saw was a 10% drop in the income he received from Mar-a-Lago in 2018 compared to 2017. But, there's a lot that these kinds of forms can't tell you. And so Democrats in Congress have been trying to get his tax returns, his financial statements. And so far, the president has blocked those efforts. The Treasury Department has said they won't turn over the tax returns. And the president's company has filed lawsuits against an accounting firm and against some banks that have loaned to the president to stop them from turning over records to Congress.
And Pinterest reported its first earnings as a public company after the closing bell yesterday.
And hi, everyone. Thanks for joining our very first earnings call.
Investors weren't impressed. Shares in the photo sharing site fell over 17% in after-hours trading. Pinterest reported a net loss of $41.4 million. While that's less than its loss the previous quarter, it was still larger than many investors had anticipated. The drop makes Pinterest the latest technology company to encounter difficulty not long after its much-anticipated public offering.
I'm beginning to become more familiar with it, let's put it this way. But as I get caught up with rock and roll music, it changes again. I got used to the Beatles a couple of years ago.
And the architect Ian Pei has died. That was him confessing on the eve of the opening of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio in 1995, that he wasn't much of a rocker. His pyramid design for the structure was one of his signature works, as well as the glass pyramid outside the Louvre, the John Hancock Building in Boston, and the Museum of Islamic Art in Doha, Qatar. Mr. Pei said that architects search for that special quality that is the spirit of the place, as no building exists alone. He was 102 years old. Now, our main story this morning, the impact that the ongoing trade tensions with China are having on farmers. Now that a deal has slipped from the grasp of negotiators, farmers are facing the likelihood that the deepest downturn in the agricultural economy since the 1980s could be prolonged indefinitely. Charlie Turner has been speaking to our economics reporter Josh Zumbrum about what's been happening in the U.S. Farm Belt.
Josh, this trade spat has essentially shut farmers out of China, which is the biggest market in the world for their products. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. China is a country of 1.4 billion people. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And they don't have the land there to kind of do it all themselves. China has to import a lot of food to feed its population. U.S. farmers were, until this trade conflict happened, were really the best positioned of anyone to do that. And it had been an incredibly successful export market for them. But once the trade conflict started, one of the ways, the main way that China responded really was to put large tariffs in place on a lot of agricultural goods, which hurt. And then they also had their kind of state-owned, China kind of controls a lot of these state-owned companies, and they had a lot of them really slam the brakes on purchasing food from U.S. farmers. And so the prices of so many commodities has just plunged. And in fact, we were looking at one of the main, the Goldman Sachs Commodities Index for agriculture, and it's at the lowest level in more than 10 years this week. This is really a grim situation for U.S. farmers from this ongoing trade conflict.
That was probably the biggest blow, wasn't it, when China shut the door on imports?
Yeah, it's really dramatic. I mean, you see soybeans, for example. The U.S. had been exporting about $12 or $13 billion a year. And just like that, China shut the purchases off, and the amount of soybean exports to China fell by something incredible, like 75 or 80% just really quickly. So you're talking about the loss of a huge market. I mean, from the perspective of farmers, it's for many farmers, this had been kind of a tough time already. You know, the farm industry was in really good shape 6-7 years ago, and had been in a little bit of a slump for the last 4 or 5 years anyway. And this like really has been kicking them when they're down, I think you'd say.
And the Department of Agriculture is putting together another aid package to farmers. It's the second one in a year, but no one really expects it to do much good.
Well, they expect it to help, but they don't expect it to offset what's being lost by having China closed off. So what the agriculture secretary said on Wednesday of this week was that he is working on a program that would give about $15 to $20 billion of aid when all is said and done. But like you said, they did a program like this last year. They did a program like this in 2018. It was a $12 billion program, a little bit smaller. But even with that program, farmers' farm income was almost the same in 2018 as it was during the recession. I mean, these are basically recessionary conditions in the farm economy, even with a farm bailout program. And so there's not a lot of optimism that you're going to be able to do the same thing in 2019 and have a significantly better outcome. The feeling of farmers and the farm industry groups is that what's really needed here is to get that market back open, regain the ability to sell food to the 1.4 billion people over there.
And it's not just the trade fight, Josh. The weather has also played a part in hurting farmers.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. The weather has been very bad. There's been flooding all over the Midwest that's really hurt production levels. So it's just it's really a tough time all around.
The farm downturn is so bad that a lot of farmers are filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I think bankruptcies, the Farm Belt went through a huge bust in the 1970s, the kind of late 1970s, early 1980s. But if you think back to that era, interest rates, you know, spiked up to 10-15%. And so, you know, that was a crisis driven by how much it costs to kind of finance your machinery and finance your, you know, land purchases. And what's kind of so remarkable about this bust is that it's happening in it's very significant, but it's happening in a very low interest rate environment. I mean, that really speaks to how difficult these conditions are.
For our full coverage of trade negotiations, you can head to WSJ.com. On to markets. U.S. markets closed up yesterday, and Asian markets were, well, mixed today. It's worth moving beyond equities, however, to pay attention to what's happening in currency markets. The Chinese yuan continued to slide against the dollar, which is something that could become an issue during trade negotiations. From Hong Kong, our markets reporter Mike Bird has more.
The yuan moved to 6.94 today, which is the weakest it's been in about 6 months. The reason that's quite a big deal is that the Chinese government has in the past defended the yuan at around 7 to the dollar. It doesn't like it weakening further than that. It's bad for China in a number of ways economically, and they've made an effort to defend it. The problem today was that there were a series of articles in Chinese state media outlets saying that the Chinese government is not currently interested in resuming trade talks with the US government. That's following some of the souring of relationships between China and the US earlier in the month after Donald Trump tweeted that the trade talks were not going as well as he would have liked. You've seen that hit Asian markets as well today. Markets in Shanghai now underperforming US stocks for the year.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. A California federal judge will consider a request by some states and environmental groups for an injunction on the grounds that President Trump's proposed financing methods to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico are both unconstitutional and illegal. The plaintiffs are arguing that the president cannot transfer funds from the Pentagon and Treasury departments as they were never intended for this purpose. President Trump's actions to secure over $5 billion for a border wall have led to at least 7 lawsuits in 3 different federal courts. And Australians are heading to the polls tomorrow to elect a new prime minister. A key voting bloc, Chinese immigrants. The Chinese community makes up as much as 15% of the voter base in some battleground contests. Reaching Chinese-Australian voters has become vital because both major parties entered the campaign effectively deadlocked. Australia is one of the few countries in the world to have compulsory voting. Those who don't vote can be fined and forced to appear in court. Finally, as you think about your weekend, we've got a piece looking at another way that smartphones have changed our world. They're making us into liars. Our reporter, Catherine Bindley, argues that because it's so easy to text updates about our location, we've gotten used to sending messages like, on my way, when we've just considered leaving the house. Jeff Hancock, a professor at the Department of Communication at Stanford University, says the lies that people tell over text are a response to the rise of micro-coordination. We can communicate more easily, more often, in more ways than ever before. Have you found yourself guilty of this? Let us know. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.